Sprich mal rein,
bitte. Ja, ah, jetzt kann ich mich hören. Wunderbar. Also dann bin ich die Vier, ja?
Du bist die Vier. You are the number one.
Hello, I'm speaking. I'm number one.
Can you hear?
I can hear myself.
George, you're the number one. David?
Hello, I'm here.
Right, okay.
Wonderful.
Okay, cool. So, if you want to music.
Ah, actually, wait.
Das ist Musik, ne?
Radio Woltersdorf and Pi Radio equals Super Radio 2026. Live from the Super Booth 2026 from a mobile studio.
Also hereinspaziert und mitgemacht. Ihr habt doch die Pionierbluse an oder wenigstens euer Halstuch umgebunden. Natürlich beginnen wir mit einem Lied.
End of file.
Ja, wir werden das Interview auf Englisch führen. I'm very proud to have with me a developer and a designer from Electron. Hello, David.
Hello.
Hello, George.
Hello.
Nice to meet you.
Thanks. Same.
Likewise.
Yeah, I wanted to speak about my favorite tool at the moment, the Toneberg. And because I think it's absolutely underrated. Okay, he had his weakness at the beginning, but I thought this were politics because there was also this MPC Live 3 coming out, and maybe one thought to be faster would be necessary. Okay, I mean, basically with the updates, I was so happy when I got this Syntax update, yeah, that it's, so to say, such an old machine, yeah, and they're still inventing new updates coming out, and that's what I really love with the Electron. And it's the same with the Toneberg, yeah? It's always the last week where I got the first of because there's you can't try to A-track.
More or less, Robin, at like in succession. And the order can be defined also. So it must go list, but it can go backward and forward through the list. It can pick at random. The idea is that you introduce variability into your sequence without having to program things manually. You can just load a sound, and then it will vary over time. And this is where the power comes from.
And it's making the sample so alive, yeah. It's and I heard that you are going to make it possible to control which sample will be chosen.
I don't actually know about this intention, but it sounds cool.
I mean, we have multiple kind of sketches on how to work with this. What happens in the end is, it's up to the process, I guess.
Okay, and you're always working together with the Electronaut, and you're working, it's influencing the way how a machine develops.
I mean, I would say a lot of things are influencing. We're really happy to have Electronauts to be so close to power users. So yeah, it definitely influences a lot. But we look in many other areas also, and also just what we want to do because we're enthusiasts.
And yeah, otherwise you won't send up an update for a machine that's like 4 or 6 years old.
Sure. Yeah. Of course. But that's been a long going trend in our company to maintain a product for a long time. Yeah, we think of products as not like a one off, but something that lives with the musician for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how do you, how do you see the design? The design of Electron boxes is a very, very certain point. Yeah. And what are your most common ideas about the design of Electron?
Common ideas. I mean, we have a workflow that we maintain for a long time, and it's hard to make radical changes because if you know one box, you get to learn another one kind of easy.
Yeah.
So we need to take that in consideration in all design choices we do. Yeah. Does that answer your question?
Sure. I bought the Octatrack, I guess, like 10 years ago.
Mm.
I have to admit that it took me a pretty long time to get really into it.
Yeah.
But in the first moment when you are into that thinking of the workflow, then you sit down on a Syntrax, Digitact or Digitone, and you can play instantly.
Mm. I mean, the Octatrack is special. It developed during a long time, and the feature set also developed after it got released. I wasn't around at that point, but it's a special device, and I know people that have tried our devices and say that, oh, they're hard to understand. I asked someone yesterday, it's like, okay, which one did you try? The Octatrack. So yeah. it kind of gives us a bit bad reputation in some ways.
Yeah, but it's still the best sampler if you're sampling live.
Sure. Yeah. The feature set, the possibilities you can do with it are like, there's nothing else out there, really.
Will you open the live sampling site on the Tonework?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good question. But the idea with Tonework that it's kind of a component device. It's always running up live sampling. I think it's something that I want to explore as a developer. But whether
super, I'm with you.
Yeah, but whether this is a fit for Tonework or it's a fit for a different product or whatever, it all depends on kind of how we see the instrument as an entity of itself.
Yeah.
And I don't think we want to just throw everything at the wall in one device, because then it's quite hard to use, I think, if it has everything.
Yeah. But for example, I'm missing a bit the on-device editing at Tonework. Mm. Yeah, that's...
Editing samples.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've noticed that. I mean, that's because we have like the multi-sample instruments and stuff. We're considering like, should you be able to edit those on the device, or is that something you do offline? We haven't taken a decision really on that.
I mean, there is this nice web app.
Yeah.
And I love it that the Electronauts are coming up with so cool devices.
Yeah.
Because there's real engagement.
Yeah.
And
that's cool. I mean, those things are so much easier to do offline. If you do it in the device, it's going to be pretty fiddly.
Okay, I understand that.
Yeah.
One last question, maybe about the overtaking of Electron.
Mm.
Will there be, do we have to expect that we have in future to pay for every machine that we download?
I mean, no, this is not really our arena, no. I would say. But to editorialize a little bit, I don't see big changes coming to Electron. I think, you know.
Oh, yes, I hope so.
Yeah. I think that, you know, we're still kind of tracking the same course as we were before. We've, you know, this isn't the first time we've been owned by investors either.
Mm.
It's, I would say, nothing new.
But also we've met with the people at Bonnier, and they seem to be really good owners. They're the guy who is head of this department of music there. He said that Bonnier is not a long-time owner, they're a lifetime owner. So their ambition is not to do an exit or anything. They're just a really, like, they really want to see the company grow. And as far as I know, they're not going to influence what we do. They said, you take the decisions on what to do. We can support nice. You.
Max, einordnen, worüber ihr gerade geredet habt. Also erstmal
also den
Hersteller vielleicht noch mal kurz genau, vorstellen.
Also es ging mir schon in erster Linie um den Tonwerk-Sampler von der Firma Elektron. Aber maybe one really last question. Do you have a vision for the future or what you would like to design or develop as a machine?
Yeah, that
I have a lot of answers to that question. For me, I've always been excited about synthesis. That's my favorite area of audio technology. Mm. And that's an area that I'd like to explore in the future. I think sampling is very cool. I think effects are very cool. But I think synthesis has so much possibility. We're only scratching the surface. Mm.
Definitely. Yeah. If I think of maybe physical modeling, that would be a nice field, I guess.
Mm. I think what I'm enticed by is the performing musician. We see a lot of people using our things on stage, and that's interesting to me.
Yeah, because you really know what you have, mm. and it's repetitive. Yeah, what I like in a way. Yeah, and I never go on stage with just the Elektron devices. I always have maybe some tricky device from Error Instruments with it, and or a nice effect from Chase Bliss, and I think then there they develop their power.
Mm. Yeah.
Thank you for being here. Very nice.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, George. Thank you, David.
Thank you so much.